encouraging you to live well. This is the Wellness Hour on the Daytime Break.
To the Wellness Hour here on the Daytime Break with me, Zinhle Qulu, and back like she never left. Once again, I've got with me in studio, she's a counseling psychologist. Her name is Nkateko Ndala-Mahoro. And last week we had a good conversation with her on resilience, on being able to bounce back after hardships in life. And, you know, while we were having the conversation, we went off on a tangent on boundaries. And we said, no, we going to have to set some time aside to have a proper conversation on boundaries and do that subject, justice. So, Nkateko, welcome back. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you, Zinhle, for having me, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Now, this is a long-awaited conversation. I've been looking forward to this conversation since last week, and we are talking about boundaries today. Let's first and foremost define what those are.
Boundaries are, if you can think of it in a physical form, a fence is a boundary to tell a person that this is somebody's territory. It's the same with boundaries. So we have physical boundaries, we've got emotional boundaries. And most of the time I say, at times it's easier to set physical boundaries than emotional boundaries. What that means is that you find that a person who is struggling with being assertive, they will rather move away, further away, so physically, while they are busy, developing being assertive. Because if they were to be assertive and that space is not yet ready for them to be assertive and they're bulldozed, they'll think this thing does not work. So typically it will be, let's say again, I'm a daughter, I'm expected to do this, this, that, and I'm forever at my parents' house because I need to do this and that. But then I take up a job in Atlanta or Cape Town. Sure. What happens? I'm not going to be there every day. So while I'm building the being assertive, I then move away as a way of helping me to build those boundaries with my parents until such a time that I'm able to free my no. So boundaries will be, you know, your skin is a boundary. The truth is a boundary. As I said, geography, so distance is a boundary. Time is a boundary. And also, you know, consequences are also boundaries. Mm. So most of the time, especially as Christians, when something happens to us, we think that God is punishing us. No. It's consequences of our actions. So and I love dwelling on this one, because once we are able to see that, that's when boundaries are able to make sense to us.
Right.
I will give an example. Let's say I am busy finishing my dissertation and I do not have the boundary to say no. And I'm forever called at parties, to serve here, being at home and all of that. And I need to finish my dissertation. And now I don't finish it on time. Me not finishing it on time, it's a consequence of my inability to say no to certain things and certain invitations. And then I can be like, okay, this is a consequence. This is not that God is punishing me for the year 2024. It's a consequence of me not being able to say no to all these invitations.
That is so, so powerful. And I think I absolutely loved what you mentioned there, to say sometimes take some space away for you as you develop, because for some people, it actually is not easy to set boundaries. There are people who seem like they have the natural, like for them, it's not a problem. But there are people who genuinely struggle to set boundaries. Why is that?
Upbringing has got a lot to do with that. If your boundaries were bulldozed, they were violated. And when I say violated, I will take sexual abuse as an example. If there was no, your no was not respected in that aspect, how are you going to expect that your no is going to be respected in other aspect? Mm-hmm. So already there, your psyche got to learn that your no is not important. So meaning wherever you're going to say no, other people are just going to violate that. So that is just one. Or, you do something in the home and especially in alcohol abuse families. You do something and one day the consequences are this and the other day it's dead. So it confuses the boundary to say when I have moved at last 3 degrees versus when I've moved it 30 degrees, the consequences are the same. They, you know, they yelled at me. They, you know, threw me against the wall. So it confuses the boundary to say what must happen. And therefore, there is no development of boundaries. So violation of those boundaries comes in childhood. And even the making the boundaries to be concrete and to be solidified and to be emphasized, it comes from childhood because we take an example of siblings. Yeah. Siblings, the other one wants to wear the other one's dress, and then the mother comes in and say, no, let her wear your dress. But then where boundaries are formed in a respectful way is, no, Ceci, that is so-and-so's dress. You can't wear it. You chose a different dress.
Mm.
Therefore, that person knows that my no, it's actually respected and it is important.
This is a bit of a challenge, I think, specifically when we talk about us as Christians as well, because, you know, the Bible teaches us you must give, you must love, you must be kind, you must share, you must, you know, and even I like the example of parenting because that's even more where you are trying to build those things in your children to teach them to share, to be kind, to be loving. Meanwhile, you know, being able to set boundaries because those are just equally important. But I think let's tackle that question straight after the music. If you need the proof, you're honest, mine. Just look at my life, you will pray. Good music here on Impact 103 FM. You are on the daytime break with me, Zinhle Xulu, and I'm chatting to Nkateko. She's a counseling psychologist. We're talking about boundaries today. Nkateko, before we took the break, right, we were talking about, you know, our faith as Christians who want to live by the Word. And the Word teaches us a lot of things that have to do with our relationships with others, where we need to be gracious to others, where we need to share, where we need to give, where we need to love, where we need to, you know, always have these open arms and receive others. How do we navigate that in relation to boundaries as well?
I'm glad that you quoting the Word.
Yeah.
The Word of God in Matthew says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Ooh.
Isn't that a boundary right there? Adam and Eve, they acted out of the boundaries of God, and there were consequences. God is a boundaried God. Another scripture that I want to also emphasize, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. And also, joining in that forgiveness, it's speaking about, you know, how do we then also extend to another person without overextending ourselves.
Hmm.
Another one. Take up your cross and follow me. Does not say take up Zinhle's cross.
Everyone else's cross.
No. So I think we have it upside down to think that that's what it means when we have to be sacrificial, when we have to be giving, when we have to be sharing. We have to be sharing within the bounds of the principles of God.
And the capacity that we have to be able to give, to share, to extend.
Absolutely, because we have limitations. We have physical limitations. We've got, you know, emotional limitations. We've got resource limitations. So, you know, yes, we trust in a big God, in, you know, a omnipotent God who is able to give us and to incapacitate us, but we are also in human forms where we are limited in terms of, you know, what we can do. I quoted a scripture, I think, a couple of weeks ago at a women's event, and I said, you know, the Word of God says, work while it's still day. So if you are going to give yourself a night shift when you are not a night shifter, you are not a nurse, you are not a security guard, you are actually out of God's boundaries, because he made the day for us to work. He made the night for us to sleep. And that's the really, yeah. Those are the principles.
But how do we then differentiate between healthy boundaries and unhealthy? Because sometimes I think, you know, we abuse setting boundaries, and other times we just want to be selfish and we call it setting boundaries. When is it healthy? When is it unhealthy?
I don't think we should dictate to an individual if they have healthy boundaries or unhealthy boundaries. But we should be able to evaluate with an individual, how does that work for you? So let's say they just want to be selfish, but yet they want the overly needy of others. So how does that work for you? Does it work that you are always seen to be needy, but when you are needed, you are nowhere to be found? And the person is able to evaluate then their actions. With the healthy boundaries, you are able to see, oh, I sleep better. I'm able to manage my finances better. I'm able to manage my time better. I'm able to manage my relationship better. I'm able to manage my tasks better. So that will be an indication for you that you are adopting healthy boundaries.
Sure. Absolutely love it. Practical example. Before we say goodbye, one last question is, do boundaries always need to be verbally communicated, or are there other ways? Because sometimes, you know, people may say, but I've said it so many times that this is the boundary or this is the line. How else can we communicate our boundaries to others? Do we always have to verbally say, or what else do we do?
So this is a statement I also liked saying. I say, if behavior was a language, what would you be communicating? Sure. So let's come to that, where you say to a person, but I've said it. I said, don't use my car in this particular way. But you keep on giving them your car.
Ooh.
What are you communicating? What are you communicating? So you are saying one thing, but doing one thing. You're also confusing the person that you're trying to build boundaries. Maybe it's a battered woman, and they keep on saying, next time you beat me, I am leaving. But you're here. What are you communicating? I know those are difficult situations to deal with. Or you keep on saying to your child, I'm not going to buy you a new jersey. I told you, take care of your jersey. But comes the time that they lose their first jersey again, you're buying them. What are you communicating? So sometimes, yes, verbally we need to emphasize. In boundaries, we have a principle that we call being proactive. So a principle of proactivity, it's also found in the same book that I quoted last time, John Townsend and Henry Cloud's book on boundaries. And we talk about a proactive boundary. So don't wait for your boundary to be bulldozed before you can communicate it. Let's say I give birth to a child and I don't know my husband's history. I need to be proactive and say, I believe, and us as a couple, let's agree that the child is not going to go and be razor bladed and, you know, going to be announced to whoever. I'm being proactive. Other than reactive is we wait and then Mamkulu, whoever comes and say, this child needs to have a name by this, that. And so if I was not proactive, I'm going to be reactive in that situation. So, yes, we need to be proactive, but we need to say what then is the greater voice. Because remember, verbal and nonverbal, nonverbal is 67% of our communication versus the verbal.
Sure. That's powerful. Kateko, I am literally sitting here and I'm thinking, next session. I can't wait. But before I let you go, just where do people follow you on social media?
We are found on Well Life Hub, and the Well and the Life, they share two L's. We are on all socials, and then we've got also a YouTube channel where you can get some nuggets as scaffolding for a week. And it's basically it's based on psychoeducation. So we are on also on also social medias. Ooh, the BBT in me.
All social media. Awesome stuff, Kateko. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Zintle.